Hello again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo, and this is program number 338. If you'd like a copy of it, Sharon will show you four different ways to receive a copy at the end of the program. It's absolutely free. Please specify whether you want a tape copy or a CD. Postage and handling is also paid for by the church. If you have finances and you're not poor, well, then we would appreciate your tithes. The Lord commands you to tithe and says that if you don't, that you're robbing God. And, you know, it's not good to rob God. We have testimonies here today. We've got a strong message from the Lord. We've got some singing and a powerful message, Bible reading from God for you to receive in Jesus' name. Right now, let's go to the throne of the Lord and ask Him if He would beseech you, Father, to pour out your Spirit upon this service. It's your service. And Lord, I pray that you open up the minds, the spirits, the souls of everyone out there in Radio Land, and that you'll let the words that are said in this service root themselves deep into the ears, down into the spirit, into the soul of every living person that's hearing this, and even into the people that are dead because they haven't been regenerated or saved born again of the Spirit. Lord, let your Spirit root all the way down into them and let their souls be saved and the church strengthened. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Amen. And here's Faith Springman now, as one of the great gospel singers of our time, to sing Swing Down, Sweet Chariot. This is symbolic of the Holy Spirit coming down to take us home. Home, when we're saved, when we're filled with the Spirit, we're home is the eternal kingdom of heaven. And the sweet chariot is the Holy Spirit that comes down and takes us up into heaven when we've served the Lord. Swing down, sweet chariot.
For to carry me.
Praise the Lord. Amen. I feel the Holy Spirit now. If we don't have communion with the Holy Spirit on this side of eternity, well, then we're not going to be able to spend eternity with the Lord. We have to walk in the Spirit here in order to be able to. I'm talking about the intensified power of God in order to not feel sorry for ourselves, to not disobey God, to not believe that just because you see people in the flesh doing the will of God, that you have to respect these people, because it's the Holy Spirit inside of these people that is doing the work, not the people themselves. There's a lot of difference between being in the flesh and being in the Holy Spirit. Now, there's all of us are human beings, of course, but then some of us have the mixture of God's Spirit in us, and some of us even have the intensified Holy Spirit in us when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which means that we have the power to be able to cast out devils, to raise the dead, to heal everyone that comes to us, providing they have faith. And there's so many thousands of souls that have been healed through this ministry that I couldn't tell of them all. But in 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, and the 45th verse, that's 1 Corinthians, chapter 15, verse 45, states that the last Adam, that you have the Adam who sinned and became subject, was no longer subject unto God. God is the God of all flesh, but Adam sinned. And then there was Adam became, the second Adam became a life-giving spirit. Now, this is a big void among Christians. In other words, very few Christians know this and the meaning of it. A big zero, void, vacancy. And they don't really pay that much attention to the Word of God. But if you want... if you want to enter heaven, you will pay attention to the Word of God. This is a big void among Christians today. The last Adam was Jesus in the flesh. Adam was in the flesh, and Jesus came as the last Adam in the flesh. Jesus, in other words, God Almighty, came into the world in the flesh, in the person of Jesus the Lord and Savior. There are only two Adams, only two bodies. Do you think that there's billions of bodies? No, there's only two bodies. If you're in the first Adam, you're going to spend, everyone in that body is going to spend eternity in the lake of fire. But if you're in the last Adam, you're going to spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. So one of the first one of these bodies is the first Adam. And the second body was the last Adam, which is Jesus. He lived in the flesh for 33 and a half years. Then by being resurrected, Jesus changed by becoming the life-giving spirit. So this word, which is God, became in the Greek language the same thing as was used in John 1:14. The word became flesh. Therefore the spirit changed from the spirit of God to the spirit who gives life. Now the spirit of God is one thing, but now he gives life to human beings. In other words, he lives in human beings just like the Spirit lived in Jesus. So Jesus became the life-giving Spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45 is a big, very big verse in the Bible. Today, some people that are Christians pay little or no attention to it. And then some Christians pay a lot of attention to John 1:14, but they don't see that the last Adam, who was flesh, became something further. In the first step, he was the Word, which had become flesh. In the second level, he was the flesh, becoming the life-giving spirit. This is something that we must see. It isn't something that we should see, but something that we must see. The third void among today's Christians is that they don't see the life-giving spirit. And this is, the whole world doesn't see that. That is the consummation of the triune God. Now, if people knew that Jesus, the Bible says that if people knew that Jesus was God, they would have never crucified him. And if people could see the Holy Spirit living in us, they would not be crucifying us on a continuous basis. They would not be persecuting us, because if they could see the Holy Spirit in us, they would know. Because I think it's gotten around so much now that those that blaspheme the Holy Spirit, that there's no forgiveness for that in this world nor in the world to come. And so they don't pay any attention, because we're human beings. And they just figure, they see so many sinful human beings in the world that they just figure we're all the same. There's no difference between any of us at all. But the Bible plainly states that there's a lot of difference between us. Most of the bodies in the world do not have the life-giving spirit living in them. They have temporal life, and they don't have eternal life in them at all, and they don't have the intensified spirit, the intensified Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in them, which gives us the power to minister the gospel, to cast out devils. And even with the Spirit in us, before we receive the intensification of the Holy Spirit, we still are able to heal people and cast out devils. We cast out devils by preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to people. And when the Spirit quickens them and they receive Jesus into their spirits, then the Holy Spirit entering their body casts the devils out. So we do have the power to cast out devils. And those of you that are hearing this broadcast, if you receive the words that are being said to you, which are strictly, directly from the Word of God, if you have devils in you, they will be cast out immediately. But, you know, the devils in you are so frightened to be cast out because they have gotten themselves acquainted with their living place in you. But this is what the third chapter of the book of Mark is all about, the third chapter, and we're going to be reading some of that, but we have a testimony here, and I'd like you to read that testimony, all right?
From Andhra Pradesh, India. Dear respected world pastor, thanks a lot for your Olamo Ministries literature containing various messages distributed by O. Franklin at my rural village, Narway A. Palem. I have read your wonderful literature with your photograph and questioned myself why people in India are worshipping Hindu gods, animals, stones, and trees, which I felt totally a waste and meaningless. They have no life, but the living God is only Jesus Christ. Previously, no pastor distributed such fantastic literature. Brother Franklin is doing gospel service and distribution with your literature. Now I have taken an oath that I will follow Jesus, whom I accepted as the real God and my personal Savior. Your literature gave me sufficient inspiration and shook my heart, and I got much interest to read it again and again. I distributed your literature to my friends and college mates as requested by Brother O. Franklin. Please pray for me in my studies in college. Also request you to send Bibles in India language to enable me to read. Your brother, K. Madha Sudau from Andhra Pradesh, India.
And then I believe we have a short message that came in by way of phone, the telephone.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Pastor Vic Love, a minister from Los Angeles, called the witnessing line to turn in a praise report when he received Pastor Olamo's literature at one of the subway stations. He loves Pastor Olamo's literature and has distributed thousands of them himself and is going to be tuning in the radio broadcast. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. This is the way that the world is one. You know, the kingdom of heaven is now invisible in the world and will become visible when Christ comes back to earth. Everything that we have done, as rather Christ in us has done, during these last days, and all the Christians down through the years will be manifested. We'll be able to see the kingdom of heaven right here on this earth. It's be visible. Now, everything spiritual is invisible now. And the Bible states that everything that was created by Jesus. And everything that we see has been created by that which we can't see. And that was the Spirit of God, which is the Word of God. God spoke everything that we have in existence. You say, well, men have created lamps and lampshades and clothing and so on. Yes, but everything that they're using to make these things with was made by something that is invisible, and that is the Spirit of God. Everything is made out of molecules, which you can't see. Atoms and molecules. Let's begin reading from the third chapter of Mark.
And he, Jesus, entered again into the synagogue.
Now see, he was in the flesh. He's the last Adam. The Word of God came into the world, and he was flesh. And so, he didn't, the book of Isaiah says that he doesn't have any beauty about him. He didn't look like a god. He just made himself. He wanted people to listen to the word instead of following after somebody that was beautiful, some big, tall, magnificent guy that is muscular and well-dressed. He wanted not any form or comeliness about him that we should admire the way he looks, the Bible says, but that he just came to preach the kingdom of God. He came into the world, the Word of God, to make the Word known. He didn't want us to admire him for anything other than that. Therefore, he didn't play basketball, football, baseball. He didn't play hockey, or he didn't box or wrestle. He wasn't into sports. His sport was to cast devils out of people and to bring them to the knowledge of the living God. His sport was to take people that were possessed with devils and were totally out of their mind and cast them out of them so that they could be born again of the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, and so he came into the world to do the will of God, even to the death. And so, read that again.
And he, Jesus, entered again into the synagogue. And there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him.
That they might accuse him. Okay, then what?
And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, Stand forth. And he saith unto them, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days?
Yeah, he's saying this to all these satanic religious people. Is it good to do good on the Sabbath? Then what?
Or to do evil, to save life or to kill. But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts.
Yeah, because also their ignorance, because man was not made for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made for man. In other words, man was not made to benefit the Sabbath. What benefit can we do by taking a day off? But the Sabbath was made to benefit man.
Amen.
So that they could have a day off. Amen?
Amen.
So man wasn't made for the Sabbath. You can do good on the Sabbath. You see some of these uneducated Jewish people, they won't even turn a light on during the Sabbath, but they'll have other people do it. In other words, they'll instruct other people to sin because they think that's sin if you turn on a light, or they're into, you know, their own version of the scriptures. God just gave people a day of rest because we need rest. But then in the New Testament, the Lord says, All you that are heavy laden, he says, Come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. 24/7. I'll give you rest for your souls. In other words, I'll give you Sabbath for your souls. Because it's the world has become so corrupt again that the Sabbath, again, was not made. Sabbath was not made we're not made to benefit the Sabbath, but the Sabbath was made to benefit us. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so it's beneficial for us to give up whatever we're doing and everything we're doing, if it even takes for us to give up our family to serve God, because if we place our family, our mother, father, sister, brother, son, or daughter before us, then we're not worthy of the Lord. As a matter of fact, in this same chapter, the Lord, they said, He was ministering. He was busy ministering to a multitude of people the gospel, and to show people that the family, his family, or nobody else's family when they're in the ministry, means as much as ministering the gospel. And when they came to him, and he's right in the middle of teaching these people, your mother's here, your brothers are here. He stopped for a moment and says, My mother and my brother, who is my mother? Who are my brethren? If they were my mother and my brother, they should be sitting in the multitude hearing from me, because I'm not just a man. I'm not just flesh, but God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is living in me. The life-giving Spirit is going to be in me as soon as I'm resurrected, and all people can receive eternal life from me after my resurrection and after my ascension. Then I have become the life-giving Spirit. Even before my ascension, I blew my breath in. I'm going to blow my breath into these disciples, and they're going to have everlasting life. But I'm going to tell them to tarry, and 50 days later, they're going to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. And so, we are to just give up everything if we want eternal life. You say, well, hey, that's that's a rough doctrine. It's right in the book of Acts. The people gave up their houses, they gave up their land, they gave up everything. Anytime you put even land or money or anything before God, they gave everything up. Amen?
Amen.
just like I did. I didn't want any more of show business. I didn't want any more of the Beatles. I didn't want to promote the Beatles. They wanted me to. I didn't want to promote the Rolling Stones. They wanted me to. I still own a Beatles album. I don't want to put it out. I want to give up everything. I want to show God that I'm His. Amen?
Amen.
That who is my mother? Who are my brethren? If they don't want to serve the Lord, they're not my mother or my brethren. Okay?
Amen.
They belong to the family of the first Adam. They belong to the flesh. I belong to the last Adam. I'm in His body, and that's who I want to serve. There isn't anything on the face of this earth that's going to stand in my way from serving the Lord. And that's the way it has to be with you. You say, well, we never knew these things, but it says so all throughout the Bible.
Amen.
Who is my mother? Who are my brethren? He stretched His hand forth to this multitude of people that were listening to Him and were ready to do whatever He said. Those are my mothers and my brethren and my sisters. Okay, continue on.
And Jesus saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him.
Right. Now, isn't that something? It's the same thing today. People can see us winning millions, hundreds of millions of souls, and the secular government, the same as the Herodians, those are the people under Herod, they want to kill us. As a matter of fact, they hired John Peeler and many others to assassinate me. Oh, why? And why? Why? Because I preach the gospel and I heal withered souls. Amen?
Yeah.
Not only withered souls, but withered hands, but withered souls as well.
Amen.
The whole world is withered, and they need to have the Spirit of God enter into them. Now, some of them said that Jesus was healing these withered hands and casting withered souls, demons living in them. And he was doing it by the Spirit of Beelzebub. Well, that's the unforgivable sin. And if you people say that we're a cult, well, we have the Spirit of God in us. You can see plainly that we're casting out devils. We're winning souls. The thing that the Lord came into the world to do is to save souls and to destroy the works of Satan. And that's what we're doing. So you've got to know that any force that would be trying to destroy us is the devil.
Amen.
Okay, people try to run us out of town. They want to stone us to death. They want to blow us up. They want to bomb us, they want to kidnap our children, they say that we're of the devil. Let me tell you, folks that are doing that, there's one unforgivable sin, and that is to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, to say that the power of God, in other words, you're saying that the power of God in Jesus that casts out devils is the devil. And the Lord says that how in the world, if he were the devil and he was casting out devils, the devil's kingdom, his kingdom, then if he were the devil, would be doomed. Amen?
Amen?
It would be over with. But if by the finger of God he's casting out devils, then he said, who do your devil-possessed children, how do they cast devils out? If they cast out devils, then the devils would be cast out of you for blaspheming the Holy Spirit. But they have no power at all. They don't have any life at all. They're not my family, and you're not my family. You people are the children of Satan, is what he was saying. And he warned them, even these people, there's one unforgivable sin, and that's to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. Okay, let's continue on.
But Jesus withdrew himself.
Yeah, when he knew that the government, Herodian's government, wanted to kill him for healing a person's hand. And on the Sabbath, when it's very good to do good on the Sabbath, as a matter of fact, Jesus walked in the Sabbath. He rested in the Spirit of God every day. And that's what people must do if they want to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If you feel sorry for yourself, then you're still in your flesh. You're not to have those kind of feelings whatsoever. You're to accept the Spirit of God and be joyful and thankful instead of mourning all the time because you can't have your way. And if there's some problem in your life, if that's what you're doing, then it's no wonder God is not blessing you or opening a door for you. You'll never get anything from God by feeling sorry for yourself. Amen?
Amen?
You should be feeling sorry for the people in the world that are lost. If you've got the Spirit of God, you should be praising and thanking the Lord all the time. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea.
Yeah, because he knew just where to go to where the Herodians couldn't get him. The people living under King Herod, this evil king. Then what?
And a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan. And they about Tyre and Sidon, a great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him.
Yeah, and all the great things that he was doing, casting out devils, raising the dead, healing every kind of sickness, disease, and infirmities, healing whole towns when he'd go in, yet they wanted to kill him, put him to death. That's what they want to do today. The devil has never changed, amen?
Amen.
And the Spirit of God has never changed. That's why I feel the Spirit of God. I know that I'm saved. I know that I have him with me and in me. Not only with me, but inside of me, and I'm in him. Amen?
Amen.
And therefore, they say you've got great boldness. I have boldness because I'm not afraid to die. I'm more afraid of God than I am the entire world of Herodians, all right? It's the same evil spirit. It's the devil that wants to wipe out the people of God, the people that are with the life-giving spirit, which is Jesus, the entire Godhead himself in us. And if he's with us, who could be against us? And if he's with you, who could be against you? All right, you should be thanking and praising the Lord from the bottom of your heart, not saying, yeah, yeah, right. Receiving the Lord, like with a flippant attitude. Anyone like that is disgusting to me. The Lord is God. Amen? Okay, what else?
And Jesus
Now, we're going to skip one passage here where he's naming all the different disciples and everything like that. Have you done that yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, tell us when you're coming to that part.
Okay.
Okay, then what?
And Jesus spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues.
Yeah, and he's healing leprosy and healing blind eyes and people that hadn't walked all their life, he'd make them get up and walk. I mean, and then people are so thankless that they don't see or appreciate God. No wonder God sends people, no wonder people's souls go to hell. Because God won't heal anybody that's thankless and he won't bless them. Okay, then what?
And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straitly charged them that they should not make him known.
Yes, because when you're known, you know, there's Herodians were trying to kill him. So the Lord wanted to fulfill his ministry. And you don't rat out people that are in the Lord walking in the Spirit. You don't call up on the phone and call the satanic FBI, IRS, Department of Labor, BATF, and all these people that kill Christians like they did at Waco. You know, you just let them preach the gospel. And so these devils were trying to blow the whistle on the Lord where he was. Remember, in the first part of the chapter, they were seeking to kill him, to murder him for healing the withered hand. Sick, oh, sickos in this world.
Amen.
Amen. And there are multitudes of them today. Thank God we have the intensification of the Holy Spirit. Okay, to lead, guide, and direct us. Then what?
And he goeth up into a mountain, and calleth unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach.
Yeah, because there were so many people that were thronging him that he wanted to ordain some helpers to go out, and he gave them the power, just like he does us. They're all human beings, remember. They're not spirits at this point. They have spirits in them. And Jesus also had the Spirit of God. He was eternal, so long as he kept every commandment, and he did. And so he endued all these disciples with the Holy Spirit and the power to cast out devils and raise the dead and to heal people and to preach the gospel. And then what? That was helping him. And that's why we need millions of more disciples for the Lord to get the word of God out. And that's why I really thank God for every distributor of the literature that the Lord has given me. I didn't write it under my direction. It was under the direction of the Holy Spirit. Okay, then what?
That he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. And then skipping down to...
Okay, and then he goes into renaming all the different disciples, you know, the Son of Thunder and all this, okay? And then we're bypassing that. Which verse was that that you stopped at?
I stopped at the verse 15.
Okay, then you're going to continue in verse what?
19b.
19b, okay?
And they went into an house, and the multitude cometh together again.
So can you imagine Jesus going into this house? It's a house. If you saw what those houses looked like, I lived in Israel, and these houses are little, you know. They're not that big, some of them. And then what happened?
So that they could not so much as eat bread.
They couldn't, and it got so busy that they didn't even have time to eat their meals, to get some nourishment. Okay, then what?
And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him. For they said, he is beside himself.
Yeah, they're saying, even his friends, like, that's a bad thing, you know, today. You've got people out in the world that say that you're of the devil, and that you're a cult, and all this kind of stuff. And then even your friends in the ministry, they say, he's out of his mind, because he's preaching such strong doctrine that the government's really going to be on his case. And everybody is saying the same thing. They're fearful and unbelieving. They're preaching. They don't want to preach the way I do because they're afraid that they're going to get killed. They're afraid that that their mousy flesh, and you know, flesh is deteriorating all the time. And the flesh profits nothing. And the Spirit profits everything. Amen? And so the whole world thinks that we're of the devil because of the media, and that the Pope is good, which he is the Antichrist, the Vatican, and the world government, and the media. And they're afraid to say anything to expose, to discuss, so that people can discover what the world government is like. They know it, and they're afraid of it. But they say, who is able to make war against the beast, the Antichrist government, and led by the Vatican, led by Satan, and the mouth, the media? Who can make war against this? Well, the Lord says that we are able to make war, but we don't use guns, bullets, or bombs. If we did, we could be destroyed. We would be destroyed quickly. Because those that live by the sword shall die by the sword. They live by the sword, they're going to die with the sword in their hands. Amen?
Amen.
So the sword we have is harmless, and it's life-giving. It's the Word of God. The Word of God is the sword of the armor of God. And then what? So they're the so even his disciples, and there's people in the ministry that thought at times that you shouldn't, you're going to get everybody killed in the ministry if you keep preaching this way, and they say that you're out of your mind, And yet you can see them, even though they can see the millions of souls being saved, they too are falling away into Antichrist. Not the people in my church so much, but there are some that have fallen away because they're afraid. They're fearful and unbelieving. Then there's some in this church that you couldn't move them with dynamite. They're going to stick and stay and make it pay. Okay, then go ahead.
And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub.
Yeah, these people, his own people, his family, in other words, are saying, his family are his the people that believe him. They're saying he's beside himself, he's out of his mind, and now the scribes say that he's possessed of the devil. Amen? Just like the people today.
Amen.
I've had people in this church that have actually stood up against me in court, bringing all kinds of lies, that he'd fallen away because they want to be homosexuals after they've been saved and they want to be back on drugs because they're fearful. They don't want to be killed. They have said the government is the one that has the power. Rome has the power. So we're joining Rome, the government, and the media is just too much for us to cope with. They don't trust in the power of God, the Word of God. And there's, I have a driver that just doesn't listen to anything that I say, so I had to take him off of driving. The man is, thinks, you know, when you're rebuking and reproving people that you're beside yourself, that you're out of your mind. And yet the man was telling his wife that I wanted to him to leave her at a Federal Express office, when he actually had stated that she hadn't left the building yet, he hadn't left the building yet to go to mail a Fed Express. And the fact was that they had left. I just said, well, leave her then at your house and just go to the Federal Express. But the reality of it was that they were at the Fed Express office, and he was thinking that I was telling him to leave her, or he told her that. Well, I don't need anybody that's going to tell lies about me, or that I would never do anything like that to a man's wife, is to say, leave her at the Federal Express office. He said that she just hadn't gotten ready to leave from the house. So you get all kinds of kooks in this world, and people, like some of them, want to be thrown out of the church. They're thinking that God will say, Tony, threw you out. And so, but they don't ever say, because you lied about him. I don't need anybody in the ministry that lies against me because they're not my family.
Amen.
Who is my family? Who are my brothers and sisters? It's those that listen to what the Lord has to say, and then they do it. But if they're going to lie, the Lord says, no liar shall enter the kingdom of heaven. And if they're going to make me look like a bad guy because they're telling their wife that I told them to leave me at the Western or the Federal Express, well, then I don't want anybody like that around. Not around me. Maybe they can be far away because they're fearful that something is going to happen to them and they want me to put them out rather than to just go ahead and leave themselves and just, if you don't want to serve the Lord, then go and don't say anything. Now, even Jesus, they thought he's beside himself, that he's out of his mind. Can you believe that? And they were laying hands on him. And here comes the devils from the world, and saying he has the devil. Okay, continue on.
And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, he hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and said unto them in parables, how can Satan cast out Satan?
Yeah, well, why would Satan cast out Satan? Then what?
And if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand.
Right, it would be doomed. Any kingdom that comes against itself, that's why the kingdom of heaven here on earth, if anyone starts coming against that, that's in the church, they have to be put out. Amen?
Amen.
Because how could the kingdom of heaven stand if we allowed, if people didn't agree? The Bible says that you're not even supposed to be married to anyone that doesn't agree with the scriptures. Amen?
Amen.
And so why would you be have anybody around that you're not even married to? They're not married to the Lord that would do things like that. Then what else?
And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand.
You're right, it's doomed. It cannot stand. In other words, it's doomed. Then what?
And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end.
Yeah, he's doomed to be, he's obliterated, absolutely obliterated. Okay, then what?
No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man.
Right, so what Jesus is saying then, Satan is strong without him. But with him, he can go in. He's stronger than the strong man, okay?
Yeah.
And he can rob Satan of souls because they don't belong to Satan in the first place unless they give themselves to Satan. And that's what people are doing today. When you don't listen to the Lord, you're giving yourself to Satan. When you don't keep the commandments of the Lord, you're of the devil. There's just no other way to cut it. Then what?
And then he will spoil his house.
Read the verse before that again.
No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house.
Right, so the Lord says, I'm casting out devils because I'm stronger than the devils. And I go in there and bind them and cast them out and rob the soul. I take them, throw them in, and I move into that person's body. But then there's a lot of people that have been saved, and they accepted the Lord to come in, and the Lord cast the devils out. But then they decide to join up with the Antichrist. So they enter back in, and the Lord leaves them, and they enter back into that body, and they say that Satan is God. And they're sitting there in the temple of God that was once God, and they're saying, this is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and they're saying that Satan is God, that he is God. And that's what that scripture means. So there's a great falling away today because people are so weak because they don't have the intensified Spirit of God operating in them and they don't keep it going. They're so weak that they just allow Satan to have his way with them. And seven devils move in and it's impossible to be restored. Okay, then what?
Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Spirit hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said he hath an unclean spirit. There came then his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee.
See, this multitude, he's preaching to them and teaching them. And so here comes Johnny come lately, Mary, who everybody that are of the that are not saved worships, and these brothers that were against Jesus also. But Mary wasn't against him, but she just wanted to, she just figured, I'm mother, and when mother comes, you know, just break up the whole congregation and let's go. Then what did Jesus say? He says, as these people that are listening to me here are my mother and my brethren. I don't want my mother to come here and interrupt anything. If she does, she's not my mother. Okay, then what?
And he answered them, saying, who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around about on them which sat about him, and said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother and my sister and mother.
Yeah, if anyone doubts the things that the Lord is telling me to tell people, or they get angry at the things I do because the Lord told me to do it, they're not my brother and they're not my sister. They're not anything to me. They're not of the Lord. That's why we have to be we have to be complete. The completion of Christ's resurrection. That's what we have to be in. Resurrected totally. Totally committed to the Lord. He revealed this divine title to his disciples. the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew 28:19. He passed through incarnation. In other words, human living, and he passed through death. And then he entered into his resurrection and ours, because he's resurrected, we also can if we accept him in us. In resurrection, the triune God was consummated by Jesus, becoming the life-giving Spirit. So the Word came into this world in the flesh, and that flesh was Jesus. And then by his resurrection, he became the life-giving Spirit, the flesh. He became the life-giving Spirit and the flesh. The flesh had been transformed into an ecclesiastical flesh. And so we have a God in heaven now that is both Spirit and flesh. Humanity was never part of the Godhead, but now he is. As a matter of fact, Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead in a human flesh body. Okay? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
So we have a real brother up there, somebody that is acquainted with all the infirmities and that we have here in this world. Therefore, it wasn't until the resurrection had been completed that this title, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, was clearly revealed in full. The consummation of the divine Trinity is the consummated Spirit. On top of this, in the Bible, there is a clear vision that the life-giving Spirit has become compounded. He is the compounded Spirit, and within him there is not only the divine element, but also the human element. This is why we can clearly say these things. We can boldly say them. We can stress repeatedly that humanity is now an ingredient of his Holy Spirit. That is, humanity that has been transformed by the Holy Spirit. So the compound, when you have a compound ointment in Exodus 30, is a fantastic type of the compound anointing Spirit. According to this type, the death of Christ, which is effectiveness, and the resurrection of Christ, which is the power and ingredients of a compounded Spirit. Now here, all these ingredients were in Jesus, and people wanted to kill him. And his own family said he's beside himself, he's out of his mind. And it's because of the fact that people don't have any idea. Like I said at the beginning, this is a void in Christianity and in this world. They don't know. But I see my time is up, and I'll explain more of this tomorrow and whatever message it is that the Lord gives me. Right now, let's get saved. Let's become born again of the Holy Spirit. Let's receive the Word of God and live. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, so you can be saved by simply saying this prayer to the Lord. That's the beginning of it. But you have to continue on to the end. Okay, and so say this prayer before the Lord. My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart, and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You are the compounded, intensified Holy Spirit. Every ingredient of God is in you, and I want every ingredient of God in me by your life-giving Spirit. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so. Therefore, I know you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me. I know you've washed me in your precious blood. I know I'm saved, and I thank you, Lord Jesus, for saving my soul. Now just raise your hands and praise and thank the Lord, and give him all the glory. Get baptized in water, fully submerged, and also get baptized with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And here's Sharon to tell you four different ways to receive a copy of program 338. Please specify if it's an audio tape or a CD. Absolutely free.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370 or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. This is World Pastor Tony Alamo. Make sure to tune in tomorrow for another powerful message directly from the Lord. In Jesus' name. And here's H.B. Barnum's Life Choir to sing the Life Prayer Song. Thank you.